Is episodes once a week not enough for you, or are you looking for more technical information from the Mixing Music Podcast? Well, guess what? Now you can. You can subscribe to our exclusive content and triple the amount of episodes that you get access to. That's right. Instead of the free once a week episodes, you get 3 episodes a week for only $4 a month or $40 a year. Go to mixingmusicpodcast.com/exclusive to get access to those episodes now.
If people are dieting now more than ever before, then why are nearly 1 in 3 American adults overweight? Dr. Gundry, who's helped thousands lose weight and feel younger and healthier than ever, says most people are not getting enough fat-burning MCTs from their food. MCTs are a special kind of compound that, instead of turning into fat when you consume it, turns into ketones, which is a chemical that breaks down the excess fat in your body. So, by getting more MCTs in your diet, you essentially flip a switch that puts your body in caloric bypass mode, which can flush out excess fat and calories. And he's created an easy way for you to activate caloric bypass right at home. It's called MCT Wellness. This powerful blend of fat-flushing MCT powders and antioxidant-rich polyphenols is designed to help you unlock your body's fat-burning, energy-producing potential. What's even better is that it's a delicious drink. I love how incredible it tastes. All you do is add a scoop to water, enjoy, and watch as you start feeling slimmer and more energized. So, if you want to experience a quick, easy and effective way to melt pounds fast, go to GundryMD.com/energy and order right now to get up to 53% off your regular price order with a 90-day money-back guarantee. Again, that's GundryMD.com/energy.
AI might be the most important new computer technology ever. It's storming every industry, and literally billions of dollars are being invested. So buckle up. The problem is that AI needs a lot of speed and processing power. So how do you compete without costs spiraling out of control? It's time to upgrade to the next generation of the cloud, Oracle Cloud Infrastructure, or OCI. OCI is a single platform for your infrastructure, database, application development, and AI needs. OCI has 4 to 8 times the bandwidth of other clouds, offers one consistent price instead of variable regional pricing, and of course, nobody does data better than Oracle. So now you can train your AI models at twice the speed and less than half the cost of other clouds. If you want to do more and spend less, like Uber, 8x8, and Databricks Mosaic, take a free test drive of OCI at oracle.com/insightful. That's oracle.com/insightful. oracle.com/insightful.
Hello and welcome back to the Mixing Music Podcast. I'm your host, DK, and with me as my host, wait.
Hey, I'm not lovely anymore. I
messed that up. I'm gone for a month and I messed up the intro.
You did.
With me, as always, is my lovely co-host, Long Ways Away Lou.
Oh, at least he was thinking of me.
Yeah.
I hope.
Dang, what happened there? Brain fart. Well, I'm not going to edit that out. And welcome back to the Mixing Music Podcast. I was gone for a month. Went to Japan, went to visit family, and we're going to talk about... What did you want to talk about, Lou? It was trying to maintain work while traveling abroad?
Yeah, so the whole idea is, like, you just came back. I had just this curious of a question, so I'm like, I think this would be something that everybody else would want to hear. So you just came back. What was working abroad like? You had to leave your entire setup at home. You had to take a broken down setup with you. What was it like trying to maintain your work? Could you keep up the same level of efficiency? What were some of the challenges you met along the way? And do you think it's, you know, possible for you to maintain that level of work in the future, or even better? Like, is there anything that you think you would have done different?
Yeah, let me break all those down. So what did I take?
What did you leave?
Take leave. All right. Mm-hmm. And then you said something about efficiency.
Mm-hmm.
And then what was that last bit?
What would you do different?
Hmm. All right. I think this is a good question. And I think as freelancers, white glove creative services, this is something that we need to think about. I mean, obviously, taking vacations is going to be very different from other industries. We don't have planned vacation days. I mean, the good news is being freelance, working for yourself, is that you can choose when to take days off, and you could choose which 5 days you work 70 hours a week. And I'm just kidding. I think this is something that is good for me to talk about as well, because I still haven't figured this out, and I don't know if I will figure this out. I don't know how other people in the industry has figured this out. So this episode is more going to be an episode of like thinking out loud that I want to do. What do you think about that, Lou?
I think that's fine. I mean, it's an honest approach.
Yeah. And I'm going to start off by saying what I did do. So what I did do first was let some of my main clients know that I will be out. So it's like, because I did book the plane tickets like 6 to 9 months in advance. Mm-hmm. And I mean, when I do that, not only are the tickets just way cheaper, but it gives me ample time to let everyone around me know that I'm going to be gone and set the expectation up. I also think it's for myself as well. Like, I like giving myself the time to, be prepared that I'm about to vacation mentally. Because it's hard to vacation without that mental preparation of vacation and getting ready to vacation. But anyway, so the first thing I do is set expectations for my clients. What I did take, I took my computer and my hard drive in a backpack. And I mean, Slate gave me their headphones, like the VSX headphones.
Nice.
So I had that, which I could talk about a little bit later. Let's see, what else did I take? Oh, and then in Japan, I bought a pair of Yamaha HS5s and like a UAD Volt. Hold on 1 second.
Sure.
Sorry, Kyo is crying.
You're all good. Now I've got a...
He's a daddy's boy.
I've got a generator or something that just started going off behind me.
Okay, well, let me edit another mark point. What I did do in Japan is that I bought a pair of Yamaha HS5s, which, by the way, Yamahas are cheaper in Japan because it's a Japanese company.
I was
planning on going JBL,
how much
but like... they're the same price as what JBLs are compared to Yamahas out here. So, like, Yamahas are JBL prices in Japan.
That's cool.
I mean, it's a Japanese company, so it makes sense, you know?
Yeah.
So I had the headphones. I had the little UAD Volt thing. No issues. And then I just set them up in the room that I was staying at in my mother-in-law's house. I brought the Sound ID microphone too.
Okay.
And adjusted for Sound ID. Couple
Do you
of
feel
thoughts.
Like on the HS5s in a, because that's kind of a unique opportunity to listen to Sound ID in a different light compared to like in your room with your treatment and everything in a space, you know, with your speakers, all new interface, all new speakers, Sound ID in a room that's most likely not treated. How did you feel it worked out for you?
At the time, and this is where it kind of becomes difficult, because at the time, I felt like it was working well. I did probably about an album of songs plus a couple singles. So I probably did about 10 songs. And one of them was a pretty big release by Barely Human,
mm-hmm.
that hasn't come out yet. And I'm not going to lie to you. This is going to be a little bit embarrassing. But first off, I'm significantly more comfortable with the way that speakers sound than headphones. Just for me, VSX, like the headphones, they sound good. And they gave me information on things that I wasn't paying attention to. The low end sucks on those things. Mm-hmm. I mean, coming from a room with dual subs, I know headphones are supposed to extend all the way down to 20 hertz, but holy crap, the low end just is ass on those headphones. Just not usable data. I can't tell if it's like the headphones. Probably not the headphones. It's probably not the algorithm. It's probably just the design, the flaw of headphones in general. Mm-hmm. That you have so little space to require such big frequencies, you know, such low frequencies. It's something about that. I like boosted the bass maxed on them. It's still unreliable, but let's see. Otherwise, they gave me like the VSX gave me like really good stereo information or mm-hmm. a mid-range information that I think was great. For the first few songs, I did reference the speakers with Sound ID and with the headphones, and I would get comfortable on the HS5s, and I was like, okay, this sounds good, and then I go back to the speakers and be like, or the VSX, and I'd be like, oh, wait, there's actually still some stuff in, like, 3 to 5K that, like, I want to tweak a little bit more. So I think it was, like, useful. It is annoying that I have to use multiple sources to check, quite frankly. Like, that is very tedious. And in my home setup, I don't have to double check on anything. Even a car check is a waste of time for me, personally. I mean, I'll still do it. It's not necessarily a waste of time, but it wouldn't have given me as much insight as, quite frankly, and I hate to be so flagrant about me defining this like this, but when you're using shitty transducers, shitty speakers and headphones, you're going to have to be swapping multiple times. That's not me gatekeeping or being an elitist. I just think it's like practically, I did find myself needing to reference constantly and I don't find myself doing that. And the only variable that I'm picking up on is that I was working one in an acoustically untreated room, but that shouldn't have a huge impact on small speakers listening quietly, like literally just like a few, like not like maybe a foot away from my face. Yeah. Like it's a small setup.
Especially on the size of speaker.
Inches. And the headphones as well. I was surprised how big of an impact the sound and sensation of low end is without subwoofers, to the point where I didn't realize before. I thought like I don't need subwoofers because the speakers go low. And then after using them now for a few months, I hate to say it, I can't go back. The amount of information that I was missing before, the amount of information that is necessary for the good low end of modern pop music and hip hop music, whatever, is just the necessity for that is just insane. And no matter how much low end you pump into Sound ID with HS5s, there's still low end that is quite lacking. And the last thing that I want to mention is it's not just like a tonal balance thing. Like it's not just the speakers don't produce low end. I think the biggest difference of them all is that, again, this is a conversation that we've had many times before, like cheap speakers. What's lost is distortion artifacts. So it's like they're not quick enough. The cones, the woofers, the transducers are not efficient enough to unmask the distortion that's taking place. Like if the speakers themselves are distorting and the music is distorting, the speaker distortion is going to cover up the music distortion. Yeah. So the music that I submitted for Barely Human, which is a lot of clipping, a lot of distortion, it sounded, when I got home, it was twice as distorted as I remember hearing it in Japan. Yeah. And so it was just completely, like the transients were totally lost to me. They were very foreign when I came back home and listened to it for the first time here. Because, the tonal balance, I think that you can get close with a combination of like the headphones. But it was just the transient response and the distortion that was just completely, it was not transparent.
Yeah.
The what I thought I was mixing and what I heard on these speakers was completely different. And to the point where like I have lost quite a bit of confidence. And coming back from the story of Japan last time where I lost a... mostly because I was trying to switch to Studio One and I was mixing on headphones. I lost a big client, which is why I like committed back to Pro Tools and tried not to work on any more projects while I was in Japan. But that was, quite frankly, I have very little confidence in mixing outside of my comfortable space. I mean, I can make it happen. I can make it work because at the end of the day, like most of mixing is not necessarily the quality. It's about that client interaction. It's that communication and that trust. It's project management. I mean, I feel like, quite honestly, like my biggest clients, they're more asking me to check off a list and yeah. like to make sure that I'm the one with all the files that can send last minute changes if necessary, or can like print different versions if necessary. I'm the project manager of the files just as much as I am a mixer, yeah. you know? So I do think that like I can do that in Japan. I think I still made the song slightly better, but not in the way that I had thought I did, which was the scariest part. Cause like, when I was mixing abroad, I thought I was making hella great changes just like I was doing here. And then I heard it here. It's like I was not making the changes that I thought I was making. The mid-range sounded completely foreign to me. I did not know how I got there.
Yeah.
And I just, that is, I don't know the resolution for that. That's the scary part of this. So like we're talking about traveling right now. And I am deathly afraid and completely against the idea of like gatekeeping through gear and the cost of gear.
Mm-hmm.
Although we've spoken much about the significance of acoustic treatment and monitors, specifically for mixers being the most important costs. I don't want to gatekeep, but I honestly, it's like, yeah, cheap speakers suck. Cheap speakers in a foreign room sucks.
Yeah, I'll say it like this. Because I don't know if you saw my post while you were abroad. Basically, my amp died.
Yeah, yeah, like, I did hear completely. About that. Yeah.
So I ended up buying the same amp as you have. Not because I thought it was like, oh, it's expensive enough to be great, cheap enough to not be too cheap or whatever. But I literally just needed a solution fast. Zounds could overnight it to me with no extra cost. So I was like, whatever. You know, I got it. Main reason is because I tried sending out a mix in headphones. And you already know, I don't typically mix in headphones. So it's not like I was abroad or anything. I was still in the same setup and everything. But it's what you become used to becomes kind of part of your sound. At a certain point, if all you ever do for the last 5 years is mix on HS5s, I'm sure at that point you've gotten used to how the speaker distorts and how it translates to other systems. So once again, I don't think it's necessarily a statement of gatekeeping, but rather once you're exposed to really fucking good food, do you really want to go to McDonald's anymore? You know, McDonald's at a certain point served the need and it was tasty, but once you've tasted better and gotten better access to something else, it's kind of hard to take that step back and look at it the same way. You know, it once again, it's not that you can't do it if you don't have access to it. It's just a matter of like, this is what I'm used to now. And it actually became kind of an issue when it was taken away from you.
Yeah, so the problems that arise are, how do you deal with this? So first off is like vacations as a freelancer. Is it important? Is it necessary? When should you do that? How should you do that? And when you do, how do you continue work if it's necessary?
Yeah.
And I think my solution from now on is that I'm going to plan my vacation during the months that are statistically less likely for me to get work, and I'm going to try to avoid working. I think that's the best way to do it. The good news is that I have a single location, because I work from home now, a single location that I can mix comfortably, and I am so extremely precise with my specific location. Now, the bad news is scalability. But that's That's the bad news with any sort of white glove creative work, right? Is like, it's just not scalable. I have to be the one to do it, and it has to be done here. You know, I can't just pass it off to anybody else without immense amount of training.
I did,
as far as efficiency goes, you asked about efficiency. There was no loss in efficiency. Anything, like being in Japan where like my day started at like 5 p.m. Pacific time was great because then I could finish things overnight for everybody and they'd have it ready, the files ready for them by
the morning.
The morning, yeah. So that was great. That was no issues, no issues. I mean, but as far as what I would do different, I probably, instead of doing like a summer vacation where typically for me summer months are busier, the LA school district takes 3 weeks off for winter vacation. Mm-hmm. So for me, and it's pretty practical for my sense because New Year's is a bigger deal in Japan than it is here. Christmas is not really celebrated the same because it's not a Christian country.
It seems to me, at least as a Westerner, observing how it's depicted in like different shows, is New Year's kind of treated like a Christmas in a sense? There's like certain Christmassy, Western Christmassy elements in New Year's in Japan?
Only in the sense that it is the most important holiday.
Yeah.
So it has no religious, well, I mean, very little religious symbolism. Mm-hmm. It's mostly culture. We're not celebrating any sort of savior. It's celebrated differently because it's not like, it's not necessarily a time for, there's not a big emphasis on goals, but it's more of an emphasis on like family. Like Christmas in Japan culturally is the day that you take your girlfriends out on a date. So you leave home, you leave your family at home and you go do something and you take your girlfriend or boyfriend on a date.
Yeah. That's then, actually kind of an awesome Christmas.
And then it's
Christmas.
New Year's, and then New Year's is the family time.
Okay.
Where we celebrate with different foods and different noodles and we have like the zodiac signs, and in Japan specifically they stopped celebrating the Lunar New Year in February. Was it the 1800s? I feel like it was like early 1900s or late 1800s that they switched fully to the Gregorian calendar as a country. And then they celebrate New Year's on January 1st instead of like the Chinese where they celebrate it on Lunar New Year's. Mm. So it's just different. But anyway, the point is there's 3 weeks and I like to take longer vacations. So when we do go out to visit family, I want to make sure we spend time with them. So I think I'm just going to have to plan it then, honestly.
Yeah.
Try to avoid it.
It makes good sense, especially in your situation where there's like good holidays surrounding those dates anyways. Like in Mexico, like a good time to go if you're trying to like be around family, be around friends, and you're trying to get like that one time where everybody might be out there would be like in May because of all the bullfights. In Mexico, there's still bullfights and everything. In the town that my family came from and that I kind of like flew back and forth growing up in.
Is that like a Spanish thing? I feel like that's a Spanish thing.
That does feel very Spanish if I really had to think about it that deep.
I didn't realize there was bullfights in Mexico. I literally thought that was just a Spanish thing.
And they're celebrated all over the country in May. So like every May, my family actually flies out to Mexico and... You know, there's live bands. The towns that you go to, remember, like my family's from a mountain town in Mexico, Unión de Tula, which is, if anybody knows Jalisco, it's right next to El Grullo by 30 minutes, which there's a lot of notoriety around El Grullo historically. But bullfights themselves is like, weirdly enough, like all the vendors come out, they hire like some really good bands. Like the bands I listen to this day are bands that I found out at the bullfights, but it turns out they were actually really big. Like I didn't realize we had like big groups coming out as a kid, but everybody, like if anybody's family moved out of town, they'll go back to the town and they'll all meet back for this one thing. It's not even a holiday. It's literally just bullfights.
Hold on. I have a question. Do they eat the bulls after they kill them?
Yeah. Okay, in our family's town, like you eat brain, you eat tongue, you eat cheek, you eat butt cheek.
There's an old Okinawan saying. There's an old Okinawan saying, because we don't do have like pig fights or anything like that. But, there's a saying when they eat pig, they say the only part of the pig you can't eat is its soul.
Have you seen Chuck Norris lately? He's still kicking butt and staying active well into his 80s. What's even more shocking is he looks more jacked than ever and seems to have more energy than guys half his age. And it's all thanks to Morning Kick, a revolutionary new daily drink from Roundhouse Provisions that combines ultra-potent greens like spirulina and kale with probiotics, prebiotics, collagen, and even ashwagandha. Just mix with water, stir, and enjoy. Unlike other green drinks out there, this one tastes exactly like strawberry lemonade and has hundreds of five-star reviews. Go to roundhouseprovisions.com/save44 for up to 44% off your regular priced order. Plus, every purchase is backed by a 90-day money-back guarantee. So if you want to experience smoother digestion, a boost of energy, and just an overall healthier body, then go to roundhouseprovisions.com/save44 today. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. Results can vary.
Why are so many dogs suffering from health issues? Actress Katherine Heigl, who's helped save over 16,000 dogs through her foundation, says she's seeing more issues with dogs' joints, odors, and health than ever before. And after doing a ton of research, she feels there's one place we can look to support any dog's health: their food. So she decided to create something she could actually feel good about feeding her dogs. It's called Superfood Complete. Superfood Complete is made with over 30 of the healthiest ingredients on the planet, including several superfoods vital to your dog's health. Badlands Ranch also sponsors the Jason Debus Heigl Foundation, which has helped rescue thousands of dogs and place them in loving homes. Dogs across America are trying this food and experiencing amazing health benefits. Go to badlandsranch.com/save50 and order right now to get up to 50% off your regular price order with a 90-day money-back guarantee. If you want your dog to experience all these incredible things, go to badlandsranch.com/save50 today.
AI might be the most important new computer technology ever. It's storming every industry, and literally billions of dollars are being invested. So buckle up. The problem is that AI needs a lot of speed and processing power. So how do you compete without costs spiraling out of control? It's time to upgrade to the next generation of the cloud. Oracle Cloud Infrastructure, or OCI. OCI is a single platform for your infrastructure, database, application development, and AI needs. OCI has 4 to 8 times the bandwidth of other clouds, offers one consistent price instead of variable regional pricing, and of course, nobody does data better than Oracle. So now you can train your AI models at twice the speed and less than half the cost of other clouds. If you want to do more and spend less, like Uber, 8x8, and Databricks Mosaic, take a free test drive of OCI at oracle.com/insightful. That's oracle.com/insightful. Oracle.com/insightful.
That's actually kind of badass. That, like, I hate to say it, but that's kind of metal.
Yeah.
It's like, damn it, we couldn't get the soul.
So I think the big things that we could take away and we could extrapolate on is the idea of like how to take vacations as a freelancer. And the first thing that I'd like to bring up is the idea of like the courage to take breaks. Maybe I do believe in like mental health and balance and things like that. But after, remember that episode with Dale Becker?
Yeah.
There's a part of me that wonders, especially as cutthroat and as little money there is in this industry. A part of me agrees heavily with Dale about the idea of like boundaries is important, but people put up boundaries too quickly.
Yeah.
And keep themselves from getting some of the best jobs. I like kind of the idea of like your wages is based on how much shit you can take.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah. I do think there's a lot of truth to that. So my first thought is, if you're young and you have the energy and you don't need a vacation, then and if this is not on your mind, then I don't think you should feel guilty about not being able to take a vacation. That being said, if you're like in your mid-30s, if you've been doing this for years, you taking a couple weeks off is not going to change your career. If you're in that position where you're just still looking for that one chance to have any sort of, you're not even able to pay rent from your career yet, then maybe not take a vacation, you know. So there's that balance there that I will be transparent about. I don't know. I cannot speak on behalf of everyone as a generalized population, like, hey, make sure to take vacations. I don't think everybody should. And so the first thing is like, okay, how do you take vacations? I think the first step is having the courage to do so. Like if you determine that you need a vacation, that is time, having the courage to properly plan out and execute a vacation. So that means like having the courage to not look at your emails as much, to not be stressed out while you're out and about. I think that's important. And I think for me, the best way to prepare next time would be, again, to set expectations, notify my clients that I will be off for a few weeks. It's not that long. And it's in their best interest if I take off too, because I will do my best work when I'm at home. And I will, you know, luckily I was in a position, like when I'm in Japan, I'm not vacationing like a foreigner. I'm not paying for, you know, it's very low risk. I'm not paying for a hotel. You know, I'm given food by my mother-in-law. I don't have to eat out. So it's like staying there and not doing anything but work doesn't cost me anything. And because I have a home base to work from, you know, that's something to consider too. But if you're like Airbnb-ing every day or going to hotels on a vacation, or you're traveling across Europe and you need to train to another country every day, I don't know if that's as possible. That's very, very difficult. I think that... Yeah, that's kind of really the only, I don't really have any deep insights on this as much as I would. It's kind of like, there was a book that I read recently, where it was a memoir, and it was like the struggle of having just shitty parents. And at the end of the book, you're like, as someone that can relate, you're like, okay, what is the solution? How did you seek and find help? And at the end of the book, the only solution, of course, is you just have to live with it. and it's like, fuck. You're like, you don't want that to be the solution, but you know damn well that that is the only solution.
I hate to admit, but in those situations, yeah. Yeah, at a certain point, the Spanish phrase is ponte las pilas, which does not translate very well literally. In the literal sense, it means put the batteries in.
Uh-huh.
You know, but it just means get over it. Yeah, it's like, oh, you're tired? Ponte las pilas, get over it and get back to work.
Which undoubtedly is a practical phrase sometimes. Not always, but no. Sometimes. And yeah, dude, I have no idea. I have no solutions for this. It sucks. Vacationing is difficult for freelancers, especially white glove freelancers. Our careers are not stable. That's not what I was going to say though. Are not scalable. So it has to be us working. And a lot of the point of this podcast and the YouTube channel is for me to build up during the length of my career, about 40 years, to create some sort of stable income, passive income. Right. And that's kind of the goal. Investments, things of that nature. What I don't want to do, and this is not necessarily a fear of mine, because I think it'll be fine and I'm not worrying about this. I feel no anxiety towards this, but I don't want to be a loser of a father that leaves nothing after I pass, leaves nothing for my children other than the responsibility of selling my gear.
Yeah.
I don't, that is some, I don't know. It's just, I don't want to be that loser. I don't want to be so self-centered that the only thing that I leave is how cool I am and through gear. You know what I'm saying?
Two suits that say Daddy D on the inside.
Yeah. Like,
if you're not buried in one that says Daddy D, I'm going to be upset.
There's something about that that scares me. Greasy Will shared something about this on TikTok, where there is another TikTok creator where their daughter was, like, after the father had passed, the daughter was responsible for selling tens of thousands of dollars, if not $100,000 worth of studio gear that the dad had amassed during his lifetime. And, like, she was just burdened with this task of selling gear. And, like, that was the only thing he left for her, which is, like, nice because then she can make some money off of and keep the money from the gear. But it's, like, I don't know. There's something, Greasy's commentary on that was moving to me and kind of made me think about not necessarily retirement. I don't believe in retirement the same way as everybody else, but the idea of, like, okay, planning for the future, making sure that I leave things for myself, I leave things for my family, I create ways of passive income. And I think that's different for everybody, and I don't know exactly what it is for me, and I'm going to be totally, totally honest with you. And I'm wondering if it's because I have more to learn, and the other part of me wonders because there is no real solution to this as a freelancer, and this is one of the things that we risk as people that are trying to make a living or making a living off of our, I don't know what it is in English, but like our ikigai, like our passion, you know, the thing. Because like it's in exchange for vacation, granted guaranteed vacation days, in exchange for that, we get to do what we are very passionate, what we love, what we've dreamed of doing since we were children. Yeah. That's what we get to do. And I think there's probably some middle ground that I am ignorant of. And I'm sure that there's financial advisors out there that could give us more help. But I think this is more pointing out the reality and trying to navigate through the troubling waters. I don't know the solution. And it's a little bit troubling, but also not something that I'm, you know, feeling super anxious about.
Gotcha. Yeah, honestly speaking, when it comes to vacations, it was definitely harder to see early in the career because I've said this before, but even when I went to go propose to Anna in Italy, I took my laptop, my hard drive, and an iPad with me just in case anything happened. And sure enough, the day I was proposing, I got a call for files, like the morning of, right before I left the hotel and everything. And I had to let them know, like, hey, once I send you these today, like, that's it. Like, I'm out of communication for the day. And I let them know why. Once they found that out, they're like, why'd you take your computer? I'm like, dude, see, if I knew you felt this way, I wouldn't have brought shit with me. But at that time, I was too scared to not bring shit with me.
Yeah.
And
that's the thing too, right?
If I do vacation, I don't do 3 week or a month or anything on my end. Like longest vacations I usually ever take is like 10 days, 11 days. Usually I just tell people like, hey, I just can't. And I try to tell them like, hey, if you can get me the files like at least the week before, I can try to get them done right before. And then that way you only had to wait for revisions. But, you know, that's my approach. But if they had to wait a month for revisions, then they're not going to be happy.
Yeah, and that's the other side of it too, right? Is that in business, there's no such thing as an emergency. You know, if you can't send a letter because the post office is closed, you're going to be pissed off, but everybody's going to wait until Monday when they open back up. You know, so I think there's that part of it. On the opposite end, I'm going to say if you set up expectations, like, don't worry about it. Your boundaries are there for a reason. People will wait. The other end is like, if you make people wait too much, you might lose a gig, and that is the risk. And, it's good to build leverage. I think people, when it comes to their creative careers, need to think more about the leverage that they're building with their brand. So it's like what I'm doing with the podcast, what I'm doing with my clients, what I'm doing with the trust that I'm creating within the industry. It's not just for me to make more money and to get more clients, it's also for leverage. The more trusted that I am, the more weight that my name and my brand carries, the more likely someone is to forgive me for taking a vacation.
Yeah.
Or for having my assistants mix the song and not me, right? People don't realize that that's a huge part of the freelancing thing. The branding is not just for the direct immediate income changes. It is also for the long-term leverage.
Yep. Yeah. No, I have a buddy of mine that about 2 years ago, he told me he was saving $6,000 to have Manny Mariquin mix a song for him. Here's the thing. It was his first song to ever make. And I got to say, that's quite the investment on your first song ever. But it's one of those things where he was watching YouTube videos. He was looking at record history and things of that nature. But he was also listening to interviews and things of that nature. And that's kind of what led him to say, I want Manny to do it. I like Manny. I like his personality. I like I've never met him before. I emailed his office. They told me it was going to be X amount to work with him. But it was his branding that made him decide, I'm going to save up to $6,000. It's not that he couldn't afford them, which technically, if you're talking about a whimsical moment and saying, yeah, I'm going to hire Manny, then at that moment, he couldn't afford them. But he said, it's worthwhile for me to wait to have the song mixed as long as I can get the money up, because it's going to be so worth it to work with them. And the only reason wasn't because of a conversation they had. It's because of his branding, the way he communicates and presents himself during interviews, the work history speaking for itself. And, you know, I mean, let's be honest. He I don't know if he's still at Village, but at the time he was at Village. That's a beautiful studio.
Yeah. Village is a good studio. But anyway, that's kind of the thoughts for this episode. I don't really have anything else to say. I had a good vacation. Japan is fun. Currently, I have a personal hyperfixation on the unconscious cultural differences between the East versus West. Kind of how Christianity and monotheism has shaped the processes, not just the language and the values, but the processes that lead to those values and conversations, how that culturally is isolated from each other, the East versus the West.
Mm-hmm.
So it was fun going out there and kind of, I started learning more about Zen Buddhism again, and, which is a specific part of Buddhism that is specifically Japanese. Started reading some literature about that. And I just think it's like really interesting. It was good to be back out. It was good to see family. My sister-in-law got married, so we saw her wedding.
Oh yeah, I saw photos of that.
Yeah, we went to the Kirby Cafe, which is in Tokyo, which is like, I swear on my life, the Kirby Cafe is harder to get a reservation at than like a high-end steakhouse in Manhattan. That was a bitch and a half to get a reservation. We're talking 3 to 6 months early. All the reservations for a 3 to 6 month time span open up, and the entire 3 to 6 month time span is reserved and sold out within a 20-second span. Most people cannot even get into the website because of how high traffic that is. And it's only in Japanese. So yeah. Like the website does not have a translate to English button or like an English version button. It is insane. That was cool to be a part of. What else did we do? The usual shrines and stuff. Yeah.
You went to Disneyland, right?
Oh yeah, that's right. Yeah, we went to Disneyland because my wife's from Chiba, which is where Tokyo Disneyland is.
Did you guys go to Universal out there?
No, that's in Osaka. That's further south. That would be a couple day trip that we'd have to go down there. It's kind of like visiting. It's like trying to visit, LA from Sacramento.
Texas? Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, it's a little bit different. And then let's see here. What else? It was just good. It was a really good time. It was a peaceful time. We were really stressed. Japan is so clean. Even the dirtiest parts of Japan is so clean. Holy cow. Public transit is just fantastic. Holy cow. The food is stupid good. I mean, the cheap, shitty food is not only way healthier for you, but is actually good. Is inexpensive because everyone and their dog knows how to cook at home. So like the economic marketplace of food in Japan is that restaurants don't survive unless it is cheap and better than what you can make at home. So it's like everybody's competing against home-cooked meals, where in America, nobody knows how to fucking cook a good meal at home, so they're not competing with anything. So the prices go up and competition goes down. Like, prices go up and quality goes down. It's a lose-lose situation in America. And not only that, it's about, I think it's more about education, but we won't get into it.
I think that's a beautiful thing, because me and my best friend, we used to go out to eat. Right. And I might suggest a place and be like, oh, let's just go here real quick. He's like, no, I won't eat anywhere that I can cook better.
Yeah, there's there's some huge flaws with Japanese society. And on the risk of sounding fucking racist, I don't give a shit. I do think in many, many ways, I do think Japan is just superior. Suicide rates are lower. It is significantly cleaner, friendlier.
What was the statistic we looked up before? Because we were talking about all the gun violence in America versus Japan. And like, you know, hot topic, Japan obviously.
Japan has, on average, 5 to 6 reported gun violence crimes a year.
Yeah. And yeah, we just had a president shot at, which is fucking hilarious. And when you compare the two, it's like, Jesus fucking Christ.
Yeah. What disturbs me the most, I do... okay, so obviously Japan is not superior fully. I was mostly joking there, but...
mostly.
So one of the things that I do think about quite often is I don't like it when Westerners put on Western standards on Japanese culture. For example, sexism is real. I will not deny sexism.
Yeah.
But the way that it is perceived, not just by women, but also the general population, and the way that religion and culture has dictated what sexism is and what the responsibility of women and the honor of womanhood and manhood, vice versa, right? Is completely different than on the East. And it is actually borderline retarded to put on Western expectations on Eastern standards and cultures. Because the fact of the matter is, on a simple baseline measure, is that women and mothers in Japan mothers in Japan are significantly higher honored and more prioritized than mothers in America. And the reason why sexism exists is because both men and women don't respect motherhood. And it is almost blasphemous from an Easterner's perspective. And it is unconceivable how these Westerners will stand up for women's right when what's causing it is the women themselves. It's just crazy. Like, if you didn't, like, yes, of course, women should be able to do what they want, be independent, but from an Eastern thinking process and culturally understanding, like, the point is, neither is correct, but if you try to frame one ideology into the other, that is even more incorrect. That is the point. That is the point. So, I mean, obviously there's flaws and there's improvements that need to be made and freedoms that need to be granted on either sides, but trying to affix one and prove superiority with one value system that was developed, isolated by millennia from a completely different culture is retarded, quite frankly. Yeah. And I think that people on TikTok, Twitter, and Instagram need to like read a book. Honestly, that's like just read a fucking book. And that's it. Sorry, that was a little rant. That could have gone way off the. I think that was already quite. You can tell how much that upset me. But I mean, we're not going to go more into that. That's just one low-hanging fruit topic. I can go into many other topics. But we're not going to get into it because this is a Mixing Music podcast. Sorry. Had to no filter.
It wouldn't be DK if we didn't get some philosophy with it.
Yeah, for real. All right. Have you seen the episode of like the dude? He's like talking to some super conservative speaker and it was like a TikTok where he's like, and Taoists believe that they should just dance with destiny and do whatever life takes them. Go wherever life takes them. Just accept everything. And then the conservative guy's like, yeah, but when the Nazis come and you just stand by and allow them to take over, what do you do? And the dude's like, Oh, you're right. I didn't think about that. Yeah, it doesn't work in that situation. And all the comments are like, bro is the most Taoist guy we've ever seen, ever. He did exactly what he said.
So, yeah. Well, I didn't really think about it.
So who really won in that conversation? That was so funny. Anyway, that made me laugh. All right. Yeah, join the Mixing Music Podcast exclusive episodes. Sorry, just random tangents.
Do you want twice as many episodes? You definitely got to get exclusive.
Yeah. Twice as many episodes. Two episodes every week. That's right. Two new episodes every single week. We might be switching to one every week from now on because I think we're like a couple years ahead.
That's actually kind of hilarious.
Yeah. So, well, I think we're about caught up as far as like the number of these weekly episodes versus the number of exclusive episodes. Mm-hmm. And James needs to be paid more, to be quite frank. So I think I might just lower. So that might be happening. Watch out. But yeah, you'll unlock like literally hundreds of new episodes, $4 a month or $4 a year. They're fantastic. They're all very technical for Pro Tools or DAWs and mixing, compression, EQ, mastering, etc. So go check that out, mixingmusicpodcast.com/exclusive. And on that note, happy mixing, my friends, and stay saucy.
AI may be the most important new computer technology ever, but AI needs a lot of processing speed, and that gets expensive fast. Upgrade to the next generation of the cloud, Oracle Cloud Infrastructure, or OCI. OCI is the single platform for your infrastructure, database, application development, and AI needs. Do more and spend less, like Uber, 8x8, and Databricks Mosaic. Take a free test drive of OCI at oracle.com/insightful. oracle.com/insightful.
Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Cenovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at cenovus.com.